David, I wonder, like people like the president, people who are under extreme stress, I wonder what their dreams are like. What do you think?
Their dreams are probably very tumultuous, probably full of pain. I think most people have those kinds of dreams on a regular basis. That's why there's so many people that take sleeping aids, because, you know, life itself is a huge stress. And I can't even imagine being the president of the United States. I just can't. Putting people in harm's way, it's huge.
When people take sleeping aids, do they dream?
They probably dream. I have to admit, I've tried various kinds of things, like, for example, remember when Paxil came out and everybody said, well, Paxil, you know, it's the thing. It makes you feel better. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try it because I don't know what it's about. So I went to my doctor and I said, I'm depressed. I need something to help me. He said, well, here. So he grabbed into a box and he gave me a whole bag of Paxil and he said, try it. First week, I didn't feel anything. Second week, started feeling kind of good. Third week, colors were vivid. Food started tasting better. Fourth week, I started realizing that I didn't feel anything, that I was like in a emotional straitjacket.
In a trance.
I just didn't feel anything. I didn't care. So, you know, if you have to have something to knock you out, I would imagine that you can still have brain activity. You can still have consciousness going on, but you're not going to be connected to it in a way that allows you to glean anything from it. So, and can I make a mention of something that I have on my website?
Yeah, absolutely.
What I did was I have a concentration relaxation exercise. I put a free download on wesee the future.net. And it will, if you want to go to sleep, download this onto your computer and go to sleep listening to me talking about being present and just coming into the moment. You will have the most lucid dreams. You will see things you never dreamed before, I tell you. And it's a free download for everybody. Because this is something that we all need to learn how to do, is to go to sleep in the right way, orient ourselves toward the superconscious mind, and learn from ourselves. We have our own inner prophet. We have a teacher within us that wants to tell us all the things that we want to know. We just have to allow that moment and those moments to occur in our life.
All right, well, let's take some phone calls here for you, David. Let's go to our first caller. It's Randy, truck driving in Indiana. Hey, Randy, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks.
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. You rock.
Thank you again.
David?
Yes, sir.
I was just listening to you a few minutes back when you described your near-death experience. And
yes.
My jaw dropped. I had to call you. I had to get a hold of you. I went through the same thing April of this year. I had a massive heart attack. They got me to the ER when the big one hit, and my heart stopped there at the ER. They had me all hooked up to the machines and such, and I could hear my eyes rolling in the back of my head, and I was gone. But yet, all of a sudden, at the same time, all my pain stopped. And I'm watching this doctor beat on my chest and work on me and everything else. And like you said, I was like standing next to myself watching this going on, and it didn't bother me. I had no pain, no worries, no nothing. And it was great. And as soon as they got my heart started again, the pain came back and so on and so forth. But I don't know about you, but I bought some kind of peace back with me. It's changed my life to this very day.
Yes, I totally agree with you. In fact, I had this out-of-body experience when I was a kid, and I brought back with me something that was, I wasn't afraid of death at that point. I knew that I didn't just cease to exist when I, you know, if I died. I knew that there was more. But the other thing that's important for you is that you had an extraordinary experience which allowed you to see that there is freedom. There's more freedom beyond the body than there can ever be in the body. And I'm not saying that's to anybody who is suggestible in the sense that, you know, don't end your life. Live as long as you possibly can so that you can have these lucid dreams, so that you can have these out-of-body experiences where you find yourself disconnected. I call it spacewalking. And because there is an umbilical cord to life itself, that if you are not meant to go, then don't go. Stay. Stay, for by all means, stay. But you've got to have these experiences before your time is up, because otherwise you won't get the meaning that's in the superconscious mind that is there, that has to be discovered.
All right, David, thanks for the advice. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Bear's there. Hi, Bear.
Hi, George. How's it going tonight?
Okay, good. I'm glad you're in. Go ahead.
Awesome. I had a question about these lucid dreams that you're talking about. I've had a recurring dream since I was 4 years old when me and my mother lived in the desert. Seems to be some way of finding water when the water goes bad, as the end times come, as some people say. And it's like I'm guiding people. And it's always the same dream to the same exact place. And I'm just curious if that sounds like something that would fall into that category.
That's really interesting. You may have already been selected to be a guide. And do you have any kind of sense of purpose in this? Do you feel that you need to find a way to express this belief or this idea that you have?
Yeah, I have. I lived up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and I've told my friends about it, and they believe it too, to where that at the time it comes, there'll be people that will guide people to where there's water that's drinkable and a place to become a civilization. Because at the end of it, people don't realize that the grocery stores will be empty in moments. I mean, what brings it? Truckers. If the truckers stop and all the economy stops, what's left? If we don't come together, everything's going to fall apart.
You know what? I beg you. Go to my website, wesee.thefuture.net, and there's a forum there. It's the dream forum. And just log in and record your dreams so that other people can begin to share these insights that you've been having. That's what I made this website for you guys. It's not for me. And I have help for you up there to help you understand how to go to the lucid dream state and be in the right state of mind. That's really important. But see, if you've had this dream since you were a child, I think you are meant for something important and special. You have seen a part of the purpose of your life. Don't let that go.
David, tell us how you're going to use the data when people start filling out information on the website.
All they have to do is enter their email, and they can go in and they can start. It's like a blog. They can start sharing their information, and then what I'm going to do is, at the end of each week, I'm going to go through all of the dreams, and I'm going to see if there are similarities between any of the dreams that people are recording. And what I have on my website are a number of articles that I've written. It is very self-explanatory, dealing with the superconscious mind and the subconscious mind, the dark side. A lot of times we are afraid of our dreams. I think that's why a lot of people use medication. They self-medicate. They drink or do whatever they have to do to not have these terrifying images occur to them. It's almost a form of PTSD, honestly. But the program that I have is a very simple program. It helps you to become present. And in the present, you tend to have that spacewalk. You start to leave those thoughts behind, those thoughts that keep pulling you back. Keep your attention away from the other messages that your higher superconscious mind is trying to put through to you. And when you learn how to get quiet and calm, your life takes on a whole new direction. And it's very self-explanatory. If you just go to wesee.thefuture.net and just go through it and read the articles, it'll change everything for you.
All right, let's go next. Jack's in Hollywood, California, and he's now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, hi, George. How are you?
All right, good to have you
with
us.
Yeah, David, nice, very nice about dreams. Hey, you know, I have these recurring dreams. You know, I'm a shaved head. I'm bald-headed.
Yes.
And I have these dreams. And every time I have a dream and I see myself in a dream, I have a full head of hair. And I'm gorgeous.
Well,
and I'm beautiful. But then I wake up and I'm disappointed.
Okay, but here's what your dream is trying to tell you. You are not your hair. And so, see, you have two different ways of looking at yourself. And you think that, I know that people that do plastic surgery, they look at themselves and for whatever reason, they're unhappy with what they see. But the fact is that what they see is connected to something more than just a blemish or the shape of a nose or the size of a breast or whatever it may be. it's connected to a sense of a lack of self-esteem. And so, see, that's a stigma that you bear, and you probably have a little frustration or resentment about it. You wish you had a nice, thick head of hair, but your hair is not who you are.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at your dream is really telling you that you don't really need hair, because the person that you are is okay without it. You really are a beautiful person, but it's not the hair that makes you beautiful. It's who you are that makes you beautiful.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Does that make any sense to you?
I love it. Do you find that moments of strife, Jack, you know, where people are feeling strange again, people are whacked out. We've been talking about it on this show for months and months and months. Do you think collectively they dream about this or not? I know how you talked about the 9/11 moment and, you know,
yes,
how many people may have had those kinds of precognitive dreams. But at this point right now, do you feel as if something's happening and people might be dreaming about it, they just haven't put it all together yet?
I absolutely believe it. I mean, so much has been said about the Mayan calendar, the 2012 calendar, how the world is supposed to end. But you see, maybe that's just a guidepost for us. I think that there are things that have to end, and that we must make those things come to an end. And look at the wars that are raging around our world. One over natural resources, two over ideology. Somehow, it will be the visionaries. It will be the people who have these greater visions who discover the ways to bring these terrible circumstances of our life that we have to look at on the news and listen to every day. We can bring these things to an end without the end of the world occurring. So it is the end of a world, not the world. It is an end of a world full of upset people, stress, hunger, suffering, for all the wrong reasons. We can bring this all to an end if we choose to. If we all see a different future, we can make a different future.
Well, I take it, David, you also believe then in the collective power of the mind, the consciousness with people banding together for a common good.
Oh, absolutely. I have a friend, and he goes to a church that has 15,000 members. And I told him some time ago about a problem that I was dealing with. And he didn't tell me that he was going to ask his church to pray for me. But I will tell you this, that miraculously, the circumstances of my life changed. And when he called me and he told me that his church had prayed for me, I said, oh my gosh, it is so amazing. I can't even wait to tell you how much things have changed for me. So, see, even in a double-blind study, they found that people who are being prayed for, I'm just using this as an example, they recover 30% more quickly than people who are not being prayed for. If you just have a picture of a person, you don't know where they are in the world. You don't know who they are. But you have an image of that person, and you hold that image, and you send positive thoughts or energy toward that person. Wherever they are in the world, they recover 30% more quickly.
I believe that.
The collective mind is so powerful. Yes, go ahead.
I believe that, David. No, it's true. It works. It really works. You have to believe it, though.
You have to believe it. Or the other thing is that there have to be other people whose belief is stronger than your disbelief. Because, you see, everybody may have all of the knowledge that they need to solve all of their problems right now. But it's not what you know. It's what you do with it. So in this modern world, and especially in this wonderful country of ours, and especially on this day, a few days before a terrible event took place 10 years ago, you know, people came together on 9/12/2001. People dropped all of their animosity, all of the infighting in the families. People stopped thinking about their different ideologies and you know, who had the better ideas. We all came together to reflect on ourselves as a nation. And so if we have the will, if anybody has the will to change their life will change. There is absolutely nothing that can stop your life from changing once you make the choice for it to change.
You must make that choice.
That's it.
Let's go to Jason, Farmington, Missouri. You're up with us. Jason, go ahead. You're on with David Rubin.
Hi, George. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hey, David. I do have a question for you, but, George, I want to tell you that I belong to a forum on the Internet, Project Avalon. You got a lot of fans on there.
All right, thank you.
David, my question is, how much of our dreams do you think play a part of our future?
That's a very good question. I would say that as much as we dream, in terms of how much does your thought play a part of your everyday life when you're thinking about things, I think it's equal to the measure of the amount of time that you dream. Now, some people, and the researchers say that sometimes a dream can last 15 seconds and it seems like an hour. Sometimes a dream can last 45 minutes. Now, but the question is, what is the content of that dream? And see, I say that if we are purposeful in directing our mind and in not allowing the dream to take control of us, but in taking control of the direction of our dreams, because remember, if you have intention, if you go to sleep tonight and you say, I'm going to dream about being rich, well, it doesn't mean you're going to wake up tomorrow and find some pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. It means you might be one day closer to fulfilling that dream. But if you don't go to sleep with intention, then what happens is it's just like letting the child have the channel changer for the television. The brain and the mind and the subconscious and the conscious all mix together, and it just becomes one giant blur of confusion. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like to deal with their dreams, because there is a lot of confusion in dreams. As I said, I have a free download for a concentration exercise. It brings you into the present. It lets you let go. It allows you to let go of those thoughts that are, you're just dragging them around like a suitcase full of bricks. You don't need the thoughts of your everyday life. When you're asleep, you don't need them. But if you have an intention and you say, I want to be a better person, let's just make it very generic. I want to be a better person, okay? And if you go to sleep with that intention, you will see something that will help you to move toward that desire. See? So it can't really be, I would say, don't be selfish about it, is really the key here. Be unselfish about your intention. Make it for the good, for whatever good there is. I want something good to happen in my life. See? Go to sleep with that intention. But if you do that and you're in the moment, and while you're falling asleep, that is sort of the paramount thing that you have focus on, you will wake up tomorrow and you will have a different outlook on life. You will. You cannot help but be changed by your own intention. It's more important that you have the intention than anybody else. It doesn't matter what other people want for us. It doesn't matter how many times people tell us how great we are or how terrible we are. The things that other people say do not matter nearly as much as what we tell ourselves.
Well, now, David, the subconscious mind is a powerful thing, that's for sure. We'll be back with final questions with David Rubin on Coast to Coast AM. David, if somebody has a precognitive dream, and they dream about someone getting sick or dying, do you think they have a responsibility to tell that person in their dream that that's what they dreamed?
I think they do, George. But, you know, that can also become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, I think unfortunately, we tend to dwell on the negative. We tend to fear more than have hope. And so telling somebody that, you know, you had a dream about them and that, you know, they were sick or whatever, that can cause them to either do one of two things. It can cause them to say, well, I need to look at this. I need to contemplate this. I need to examine my life and see what I'm doing. Or it can make them more inclined to believe the negative. But at the same time, look, when you tell the truth, whatever that truth may be, no matter what, I mean, if we're talking about UFOs, and I tell people, whenever I see something, I take pictures of them, and I show people all the time. Look at this picture I took. Does that look like an aircraft to you? I don't care if they think I'm crazy. I don't care if they like or dislike me, I feel that I have a responsibility to be true to myself. And so I have to tell people what I see. I don't want them to be shocked. I don't want them to believe anything. I just want to show them. And that's all you can do. You can't be afraid to do that.
No, you can't be, I guess. That's probably the smart. And then you'd kick yourself if something happened to them and you didn't tell them.
Exactly right. Can I tell you a perfect example?
Sure.
This was not from a dream, but I was told years ago, a friend of mine was drinking too much, and he let it slip that he was having an affair. Now, I'm friends with both of them, him and his wife.
Ah, tough spot
looked,
for you.
I looked him in the eye, and I said, if you don't tell your wife, I will.
Wow.
See, and so you always risk, because I know that this man, you know, I knew his children. My children were friends with their children, wonderful woman. And I said, you've got to come clean on this. He told me, what was I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying?
That's a tough call.
And they got it worked out, which was a good thing.
That's that's a tough call, you know, giving him advice and then forcing his hand. It's a rough spot for you to be in.
It was the worst possible place I've ever found myself in relationship with another person. But
if you weren't close to her, would you have still said that?
It's kind of who I am in a sense. I'm a full disclosure person, and so I kind of stay consistent with my nature. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel that it's important for me. So I could say to him, if somebody starts to tell me something that I don't want to know anything about, I say, wait a minute, stop right there. Say no more, please. I don't want to hear any more about this. I can tell when something's coming, and I don't want people to tell me. I tell them, if you tell me these things, you know, then you're making me an insider. You're bringing me into your circle. Now, if it's a thing of confidence, if somebody says to me, hey, I got a problem I need to talk to you about, then that's a whole nother issue. But he was, like, bragging about it, you know?
Yeah, that's not good.
So
let's go to
confidence, for sure.
Seattle, Washington, we go. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I am a...
Whoop, I can barely hear you, Catherine. You there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yep.
Sorry. Hi, a first-time caller and very new listener.
Thank you.
And, David, I was listening to you guys talk about these dreams, and I, too, have had dreams of guiding people to safety during the apocalypse. And, you know, actually in my dream there were these aliens that were there, and I was telling people, you have to go with them. Don't be afraid. But then I've also had dreams where there were some pretty gnarly aliens, and my son's 18 now, and he was 4, and I was, you know, out in the woods with them on a camping trip, and I was supposed to get these boys to safety, and none of the adults would listen to me and get the kids in the tent. And the crazy thing was I could hear this whirring before I saw them, and then when I saw them, they slowed down, and I could see that they were giant spokes coming out of the bottom of the ships, and that was the propulsion system when these kind of spoke things went really, really fast. And the weird thing is when I went to pick up my son from preschool, he came to me and was like, Mommy, I made this ship today. And it was a bowl with these big skewers sticking out that looked just like the ship. It was so
very
weird.
Interesting.
So my question is, like, I mean, now I'm studying all of these things about, you know, my boyfriend's really into it. He's been listening to George since 2000. And I'm confused because in my dream, these aliens are good. And there's a lot that I'm hearing about some pretty bad aliens. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, the alien question is sort of an unresolvable question because each person has their own unique experience. I have a tendency to believe that we attract to ourselves what it is that we need in order for us to learn or grow or discover something.
Mm-hmm.
And so with regard to the alien question, my basic mindset about aliens is that I only want to meet the friendly ones. So the back of mind thought is, don't come near me if you're not friendly. Stay away from me. I don't want to be around you. So I'm not going to attract I don't have that kind of curiosity like Fire in the Sky. Did you see that movie, Fire in the Sky?
That's about Travis Walton.
That's right. They were curious. They went under the ship. The guy got drawn up by a tractor beam or whatever happened to him. I wouldn't have been that curious. I would have watched more from a distance to see what it would do. I'm not interested in attracting entities to me because I know through experience that it can be a very scary thing, and you can be dealing with some forces that are pretty far out. So I think change the paradigm of the thinking toward inviting, having friendly relationships rather than fearful ones.
And David, when you dream of extraterrestrials, could they be symbolisms for something else?
Absolutely. I've said that for 30 years. The problem is, George, is that a lot of the imagery and a lot of the experiences that we have with negative images and frightening, some people will call monsters or evil, is that we don't have a way of bringing closure to certain traumas that have happened in our life. And we don't understand why we ended up having a fear of strawberries or being afraid of clowns. I mean, I had a friend who was afraid of clowns.
I don't like clowns. I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't like clowns either.
I don't like them.
I'm telling you. But see, he didn't realize that he was traumatized as a child when he was taken to a circus, and he thought it was a monster. And so that was the back of mind thinking of a 4 or 5 year old child. And as they grow up, it never went away. It was just embedded. I'll give you an example. When I was in fifth grade, a kid threw up and it went all over me. The kid sitting behind me, rows of desks.
Nice.
And in the throw up was peaches. Okay, I've never liked
peaches
ever.
Oh, David, you're killing me. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, it had a terrible, terrible effect on me. The teacher would not let me go home. I had to wash my hair in the drinking fountain. I threw away my jacket, and I had to live with the stink on me until I got home.
Thank God he didn't eat pizza. Then you wouldn't be able to have that.
You're right. It didn't matter what it was. That's exactly right. I was imprinted with a revulsion toward peaches. Okay, so the symbolism of our dreams, and especially those that feel that they come from the dark side, it could be aliens. Aliens is a way of explaining something that is otherwise unexplainable. And I'm not saying that people don't get abducted, but I do believe that we tend to assign meaning. See, we see the world as we are, not as it is. So we see the world through filters. And we look at everything, we assign meaning to everything. And when the UFO abduction thing became popular, a lot more people started saying they were abducted. Now the question is, were they really, or did something enter into their mindset that caused them to shift their thinking toward that as a remedy, as a way of explaining away a condition that they didn't understand to begin with? And I would say yes.
Good
point. That's correct.
Let's go to Art in Washington, D.C., east of the Rockies. Art, go ahead.
Yeah, I have had some experiences recently in my life where I have a sense of awareness of things that are going to happen. But to be more specific, you say that it's dreams. It's not dreams for me. I just become all of a sudden aware of what might happen. And to give you an example, this was, I believe, 9/11 was on a Monday.
Yes.
9/9 is Saturday. In the midday, I'm walking just a few blocks away from my home to the store. And all of a sudden, I was overcome with such a terrible feeling of dread and foreboding of catastrophe.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do about it. I had to steady myself against a building. It just came over me. It was a nice sunny afternoon.
Yeah.
It was a nice, warm weather. There was nothing wrong anywhere, but I didn't know what to do about it. You don't call the FBI and say, hey, I don't feel good.
Right, exactly. Absolutely right. But see, you are a perfect example of the average person who has those experiences, those feelings of dread and terror and anxiety attack, okay?
Yeah.
But we cannot assign any specific reason for it.
Right.
And that's when what we have to do, what everyone has to learn how to do, is to come into the moment, completely clear your mind. You know, first responders, the first thing they say to people when they arrive at an accident site is, stay calm. They tell the people everything's going to be okay. And they reassure the people, even if they're torn in half, the first responder's job is to stabilize that person. You have a responsibility to find your center in those moments and then reflect on what the nature of that fear or that dread or that anxiety, what could it be pointing at?
Yeah. But, you know, funny thing is, I would never dream, believe me, I would never dream of turning on a TV in the morning. I just don't do it.
No.
I turn it on at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock for the news, and then maybe a program or two. That Monday, for some reason, I turned on television just to see that airplane hit that tower in New York.
Wow.
And I said, this is what I saw Saturday.
Yeah.
It came to me just like that.
You are a very typical person who has already a sense of precognitive ability. The problem has always been is that we do not understand what it means. And the only way you can understand what it means is to find yourself being very calm, find your center after that happens, and then do the necessary questioning, wondering about it. Because what will happen is, like, for example, let's say there are times when I'm cooking and I get on a phone call. Something just kind of creeps up my back that says something's wrong. And then I think, what is it? Oh, my gosh. And sure enough, I go in and there's a fire in the pan that I was putting, you know, I put the butter in it. I walked away from it. Something reminds me. Something tells me. We can't always assign a specific meaning to it. But the point is, you are evidence of the fact that we are an organism. The human race is not just a bunch of little people all individually going around doing something totally separate from everyone else. The body, the human body, has billions of cells, trillions maybe, I don't know how many. Each one of those cells, though, is dependent upon the other cells in the body for the body to exist. And we are all in the same boat in this one, that we are all part of this world, and we all have to learn how to relate to each other. And I'm telling you that when you align yourself in the right way, in the moment, in this now moment, you will both be changed on a conscious level, on a subconscious level, and on a superconscious level. There will be a three-dimensional shift in your existence. And in that shift, you will begin to affect other people. You cannot help but become an effect of a cause.
David, why are some people better at precognitive dreams than others? You would think we'd all have the same ability.
You know, it's I think it's social, George, I really do. Because our society is not like, for example, a Native American society where they're a tribe and the tribe has various beliefs and various customs. I mean, you know, America is built on a concept of individuality, as I said before. And so we aren't given a basic set of understandings, or I don't even know how to say it. Let's say just a basic set of 10 commandments or 10 beliefs or 10 ideas about who we are. There are billions of ideas about who we are, potential ideas that you could dream up. And so we come into the world and there's no manual for human existence. It just doesn't exist. I mean, some people would say it's the Bible. I would say it's got keys in it. The Bible is a good one. But there are others. There are other people who have done the hard work. I love Lao Tzu. I love a lot of Chinese philosophy. I love a lot of Cherokee philosophy. I love philosophy of every kind, because when you sort through it, you begin to see that all of the basic philosophies tell you certain things about life, the basics about life, okay? And so some people are more tuned in to the basics of life than others. Other people are struggling to survive. Even if they live in the richest country in the world, they may live in an inner city environment, and they're you know, getting from work to home may be their biggest challenge of the day without getting shot. So depending upon how much we have the ability to give our time to the focus and the practice of awakening and becoming more conscious, I think that is the indicator. That's the measure of who we are. If we don't have the time, if we're only in a survival mode, or if we're only in a self-serving mode, then it's just not going to happen unless we have an epiphany or unless we have a terrible, tragic accident, which happened to me when I almost died the second time. And I woke up and I said, I don't want to live this way anymore. I said, I'd rather be dead than go on living without the consciousness needed to prevent me from destroying myself. And so my life started to change because I declared it. I declared it to the universe. I do not wish to continue living this way. And then something changed. And that's what everyone has to do. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. And then you start to look at yourself. What am I doing to contribute? How am I making the world a better place? That's the first question I would ask. And if you don't come up with a lot, at least a couple of answers for that, then you ask yourself, well, how am I contributing to the problem? And I'm not talking about, you know, the green thing, because I think we all have to live. We all need gasoline. We all need power for our homes. We all need food. I'm not talking about on a sort of economic level. I'm talking about on a metaphysical level, a personal level. We all have to ask ourselves, what am I, part of the solution or part of the problem?
Good point, David. I want to get your website out, David. The clock has got us. WeSeeTheFuture.net. That's David Rubin's website. I'm George Norrie, and I shall be back in a moment with a couple hours of open lines for you, plus a special hotline on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks, David.